Blog Talk Radio.
From Los Angeles, California, the music capital of America, it's Music Friday Live, brought to you by Solar City, your source for clean, sustainable energy. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan, and we have a live guest today and two classic interviews. So stay tuned. This is going to be quite a show. Patrick O'Heffernan here, your host on Music Friday Live. The Music Friday team has just returned from vacation this week, and we did not have time to assemble a live show today. But we have a classic interviews with guests who are out there moving and shaking and doing things, and I'm going to tell you about them later in the show. In just a moment, we're going to be talking live with Molly Fallick of the band Steps of Dough about her upcoming show, which is tonight. So if you're in Southern California, you're going to want to tune your ears very carefully. And in fact, I think she's here.
Hello.
Hi, Molly. Hello.
Hi.
Well,
thank you for having
me
this morning.
Oh, I'm pretty good. Pretty good. I came back from Mexico a little bit sunburned, but other than that, pretty good. So tell us about the show tonight.
Well, it's at the Hotel Cafe. That's on Cahuenga in Hollywood. So if you're in the LA area and you don't have plans or you want to cancel your plans, come by. We're playing at 9 p.m. for about an hour, and it's our album release. So we've got all of our albums there. We've got T-shirts and some other fun merch type things.
Well, tell us about this album. This is a brand new album?
Yes, brand new album. It's our debut. It's called On Returning, and we've been working on it for about 3 years. Basically since we graduated college and came back home, and we're really excited about it.
Well, you were on the show, I think, about, what, 6 weeks to 8 weeks ago, and we talked about what you were doing then, and you threatened us with a album release, and here it is, and I'm really glad to hear about it. All right.
Now, yep, we've come through on our promise.
It took you 3 years. Is that... Were you doing lots of other things in the meantime, or did you really just spend 3 years on it?
I wish we spent all of our time on it. No, we were graduating and looking for jobs and moving back in with our parents and trying to find time to write, trying to find time to record. We were playing all the time. So I'm hoping that if everything comes together, the next album will happen a little bit sooner than 2018.
Well, I'm sure it will. And since I know your music, I know this is going to be a very successful album and a very successful party, too. Congratulations. Of course, Hotel Cafe is the premier showcase club in Hollywood. Of course, it competes a little bit with Wits End out in the West Side, but being on the stage in Hotel Cafe is a real honor. I want to tell all of our guests who are in Southern California, if you're in the Los Angeles area, Hotel Cafe is on Cahuenga Boulevard between Hollywood and Sunset. There's a real easy parking lot, not right next door, but there's an apartment building next door and then the parking lot, so you can just pull right in. I suggest you get there early, because I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of people there, and there's only maybe 9 or 10 tables, and everything else is standing room. So if you want to sit there and, you know, take pictures and do all those other good things while you're listening to Steps of Dough, you get there early. In fact, I would suggest that you go on the Hotel Cafe website and buy your tickets now, all right? And that way, when you walk up, you can just get waved, get your bracelet, get your tattoo, and get waved right on through. So are we going to hear the full album at Hotel Cafe tonight?
Yes, you will. It might not be played in order, but all the songs will be played.
Okay.
Plus maybe another song.
Oh, good. Okay, so it'll be a surprise song too, huh?
And
you'll be there, the two of you will be there to sign CDs?
Yep, we'll be there. We'll be at our merch booth afterwards and beforehand. And we've got a full band tonight, so It's going to sound as close to the album as it ever has, which is which is great.
I don't think I've ever heard you with a full band. This is going to be a lot of fun. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Molly,
it's going to be a great night.
Do you have any other gigs lined up?
We don't have any other shows booked as of now. That starts tomorrow.
Right. I understand. I understand completely. And probably late tomorrow.
Exactly.
Well, Molly, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to call us. And again, to our listeners, to my Southern California listeners, if you are in Los Angeles, you don't want to miss Steps of Doe's album release party tonight at the Hotel Cafe. That's on Cahuenga Boulevard in Hollywood, block north of Sunset. There's an easy parking right next door, so don't worry. You don't have to get into the Hollywood parking mess. It's right there, and it's really easy. They go on stage at 9 p.m. I suggest you get your tickets in advance at the Hotel Cafe website and be there early because this is going to be a sellout. Thanks again for calling, Molly.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
We'll take a break now and welcome our affiliates in. And then when we come back, Zach Villa from Sylvia. This is one of the best indie bands out there, so don't go away.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
I'm Patrick O'Heffernan, host of Music Friday Live, and I want to welcome our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates. And I want to remind everybody that since the two interviews today have been recorded earlier, don't call in if you have questions or comments for our guest today. But you can email your questions to MusicFridayLive@gmail.com. That's MusicFridayLive@gmail.com. And we will forward your questions to the guests so they can reply directly for you. Now, unless you tell us differently, we will take your email address off so you don't wind up on a mailing list that you don't want to be on. But, you know, if you want to be on their mailing list, just let us know and we'll leave it on. Now, in just a minute, I am going to play my interview with Zach Villa. He's the co-founder and lead singer of the band Sylvia. And it turns out Zach has some acting chops, too. You can catch Zach playing the role of the Rebel, a role that he will do quite well in, I'm sure, on weekend dates throughout the month of May in the play Dear John Hughes Show. And that's being produced by the For the Record Productions. They're out of Chicago, I believe. And the production is at the DBA Nightclub Theater in Los Angeles. That's, if I recall, that's out on Santa Monica Boulevard in Fairfax in Midtown, L.A. So, again, this is Los Angeles-based. This is for my Southern California listeners, but I'm sure they're going to put videos of it up, too. So if you are in Southern California, you can get tickets at www.fortherecordlive.com. And if you use the promo code, you get a discount for Music Friday listeners. So take out your pencil. I'm going to give you a promo code. It's all caps, and it's DJHZACH. And that will get you a discount on tickets to the For the Record production of the Dear John Hughes with our next guest in it. And now, my interview with Zach Villa from January of this year. And right now, let me introduce our next guest. Joyful, sophisticated, dense, funky, intelligent, addictive, and crazy quilt soaring rock. I never thought I would introduce a band with that combination of words, but they all describe Sylvia, the band created and led by our next guest, Zach Villa. Listening to their eponymous debut EP is like getting behind the wheel of a vintage Chevy convertible and then discovering that it's really a Lamborghini and you're coming down the PCH at full throttle. Driven by seven superb musicians who move together like a single living, breathing, rocking organism, this thing rocks. Zach Villa, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Hey. Thanks, Patrick. I'm glad to be here. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing even better now that you're here.
Likewise.
Well, first of all, when I first heard you play live, my first thought was, boy, these people are really good. And my second thought was to have you here to explain how you got to be so good. So tell us your story. You moved to L.A. and then what?
Yeah, I moved to L.A. from a theater background, actually, from New York. I came out here about a couple years ago, and, you know, it's tricky to keep a band, much less a big band, sort of going, much less starting in New York City, because the logistics are a little trickier with the subway. You know, you saw how large my amplifier was. It's not very fun taking that up and down subway stairs. After getting out to L.A., I just sort of looked around and realized that, you know, the band that I sort of had rolling around in the back of my head for the past few months might actually be a possibility with all the talent out here. And as you do, you know, in the music community, it was sort of haphazard. I met the brothers Grijalva, my lead guitarist and drummer, and by actually seeing another show. They were actually mixing a band that I knew quite well. And I approached them, and Manny, the guitarist, told me about his brother and how good he was at drums. And I was like, oh, yeah, really? Show me. And that was sort of the beginning of Sylvia. And then members, you know, 5, 4, 5, 6, and 7 all just kind of came in consecutive number after that.
Did you have a strategy for putting this band together at all? Because everybody really clicks, and everybody's very good, too. Or was it just like you described, if one person talked to the next person, or did you have something in mind in advance?
I did. I think, you know, I'm a big believer in sort of manifesting what you want to see. And so I think I definitely had in my brain a large band. I had been in a couple trios before that, and that was okay, but I really missed being able to get such a big live sound and a sound that, you know, really you just needed more people to make. And a lot of bands do that with tracks and sort of playback options nowadays. But when I wanted to go about making Sylvia or you know, giving birth to something that would eventually turn into Sylvia, that's what I was after. I was after a huge sound that people were actually making on the spot. And another piece to that puzzle is I really wanted a co-lead. I wanted a band that, you know, I wasn't just going to go and watch for 55 minutes and hear one singer sort of run out of a bag of tricks. And, you know, not that I don't trust my own singing ability, but I definitely was like, I would love to hear more than one vocalist during a 45-minute, 35-minute set. And, you know, sort of a nod to Fleetwood Mac and some of the, you know, the great supergroups coming up in the 60s and 70s. And so, yeah, you combine those two things. That's definitely what I had in mind. And then, yeah, the rest was sort of magic. I can't really explain how lucky I was to get, you know, the people that actually came through the door.
Well, they're pretty good people. In fact, this album is actually full of surprises. Every song is full of surprises, actually. But one of the most surprising songs on it, and my favorite, is this song. It's called Desert. Good thing my microphone line is really long and flexible because I'm dancing around in the studio. That is a fabulous piece of music. All right, that is the Lamborghini coming down the PCH. Americana clap beat, wild funk, hot cool blues. Now, where did that song come from?
Oh man, where did that song come from? You know, I think what it came from was what I was talking about earlier, is sort of this dual lead of a male and female sort of fronting the head of a band as opposed to just one. And when we sat down to sort of look at songs and start writing for Sylvia, I was like, you know what we need is a song that is just screams female power. my girl definitely was like, yeah, that definitely makes sense to me. I think I would enjoy singing that. So we sat down and started, playing this guitar riff that was essentially a disco tune. And once we got into the studio, it sort of morphed into this, as you said, sort of an amalgamation of sounds. I think disco is definitely at the heart of that. And if you listen to the demo someday, you know, in the E Behind the Music special, it's definitely more 70s and less hard rock than the version that we have now, you know.
Aha, so, interesting. Well, Lindsey Clair is your vocalist there. It does a great job. And the lyrics in there, "Oh mama, what have I done? Burn my clothes and bury my gun. You told me to run, let's have some fun. Believe me, baby, you ain't the chosen one." Who's the unlucky guy and is he still alive?
It's a good question. You might have to ask her directly when you see her next. I'm sure it speaks to a number of gentlemen that have been so unlucky to come within her wrath when she's not feeling so positive.
All right, we'll let that be. Let's we get her into trouble. Here's the title track, and it's complete change of pace and tempo. It's very identifiable. Now, that's the title track, Sylvia. Who is Sylvia, and what kind of bad habits did she teach you?
Oh, man. Well, I think Sylvia is one person for me in particular, but I think for anyone listening to that song, it's a song, it embodies the partner for you that you know is bad, but it's so bad, it's good. And it's that thing where you know you should leave, you should definitely get out of the situation, but you just can't, because for some reason the torture and sort of the self-mutilation is so satisfying in a weird way.
Speaking of self-mutilation, we should talk about your video in a little while.
Yeah, we can do that.
We've got some emails coming in for you. Fuzzy82 in San Francisco says, how big is your amp? Just kidding. But what's your favorite venue in Los Angeles?
My favorite venue in Los Angeles, it's sort of a toss-up between Hotel Cafe and Molly Malone's. Molly's and Angela, the booker that's been there for a while now, is a big fan of us, and we're a big fan of them. It's one of the few stages in L.A. that we actually have extra room with 7 people on stage. And,
yeah, it's a big stage. And there's also dance room, too. Exactly. And also, how big is the amp? Could you actually get it into a subway car?
You could definitely get it into a subway car. It's just a question of how long it is before my arm's going to fall off while I'm carrying it. I think it's a good 400 watt amp. It's a Fender Cyber Twin. So not only do I have a lot of analog tube components, I've got a full computer on board.
Michael's in St. Louis wants to know, you called your sound Big Sound. Is that the same as a wall of sound? Interesting.
No,
question.
It is not. That's a very good question. Big Sound, I think, is probably more general. Wall of sound is actually quite specific in that, you know, it's sort of blaring guitars and you sort of have so much texture that it's sort of hard to define what you're actually hearing. And we actually take pride in being really specific with the choices we make, especially with the 3 guitars in our band. So when I say big, I literally mean size, and sort of sonic, the sonic field is so big But that doesn't mean you can't discern what all the parts are. And I hope that people listening to our record will be able to be like, oh, yeah, that's guitar one, that's guitar two, that's guitar three. Because we've made very conscious choices trying to layer everything.
Well, actually, I was going to ask you about that. You talk about the power of three guitars. Now, a lot of bands have three guitars, but you do it very specifically. What do you do with three guitars that makes you unique?
Well, I think it's all about the choices of sound as we're building these songs, Patrick. I think it's like, you know, it's pretty easy for everybody to sort of play a different version of the chord. You know, like if you're all playing A to C to, you know, D to E flat, like it all sort of, it's an easy choice for everybody to sort of play a different version of that. But what we do is we really take the time to have three guitars really interlaced over the top of each other. So we have a melody part. I'm usually taking the really weird solos / rhythm part. And Steven is usually doing something really beautiful sort of up the neck. And for some reason, it's about the synergy of that. It's not just about sort of going out and, you know, sort of turning up to 11 and going for it. I think we really try to be delicate with our choices. And when you have three different voices, especially three different guitars and three different very specific tones, for some reason it just works, that blend. If it was three
it works
different
very
people,
well.
If it was three different people, I don't know if it would.
Now, the two songs I've played are kind of bookends on the EP. There's a lot of diversity on between those bookends, and we're going to play a little bit of it. But first, let me ask you, a lot of bands do mashups and fusion. You seem to have accomplished something different. It's kind of a unified whole in which the parts are each very present, but the whole is larger than the sum of the parts. Your individual instruments aren't absorbed like soup, but they're kind of separate and complementary like a stew. Now, did you set out to do that, or is that just instinctive?
I think it's a mix. I do think that it's the magic of music and the magic of the people that we have in Sylvia. I don't know if it could be the same way with a different group. And I hoped for that. I definitely didn't plan for that. I think we were blessed. I think we're really blessed by all of the individual instincts, you know, that all the band members brought to the table. I definitely pride myself on arrangement, and I'm usually the guy in the room saying, hey, no, let's put that aside for a second. Let's focus on this piece or this piece and bring this to the forefront. But I can't take credit for that. If it was just me in a room, it would never even come close to sounding like that. It really is just the magic of everybody's musical background.
Well, of course, that's a testimony to your ability to pick people and to fit them together. And a piece of that is we're going to hear in this song, Lie to Me, which is kind of a tragic song whose theme is classic, you know, a heart torn between two people, but it's also kind of has some wisdom in it. Let's listen to this for a bit.
Oh, you say I'm through with you. I know I don't deserve you much, but it makes me want to try. There's a part of me that's grown in you. Give it to me, I don't want to try. And I know that I'm young and I don't have plans beyond tomorrow's time. But you bring out the best in me. You make me want to plan for more than one.
Now, that, like I said, that's a different pace, a different tempo, a different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And you use a device in there of conversation between two lovers, and it works really well. We hear the hurt from both sides. But there are some words and there's some concepts in there that I think are kind of worth repeating. I'm going to repeat one of them. This is, and I know I'm young and I don't have plans beyond tomorrow's sun, but you bring out the best in me. You make me want to plan for more than one. And then later on in the song, you say, turn away from variety is the sacrifice you make to build the one. Now, that's very interesting lines there. You've caught the two central conundrums of the heart encapsulated very nicely in kind of a ballad pop package. First of all, did you write that? And secondly, if you did, was that your own from your own experience?
The answer is yes and yes. Lie to Me is a really important song, especially for me. I mean, for the band too, but that song really hits close to home. That song was more than 5 years in the making, from conception on piano, which was me in a New York apartment, you know, to the version that it is now. And we really fought for that song in the studio. And I don't think we had a version previous to this where it really worked. I mean, for me, that's the garner of an adult relationship is two people knowing that they are better together than alone. And that, like, as you said, it's a conundrum because it's not always an easy choice. You do have to make sacrifices and sort of choose to grow up at a certain point. And I think that when people have that decision to make, it's shocking and you don't really know that you're there until you're there. And I think that's what this song is about, is two people who really want to be able to make that choice but aren't necessarily ready yet.
Well, that explains why you were able to put so much wisdom into what's essentially a pop ballad. And I really appreciate that. We've got some more emails
here
for you.
Sure.
You're welcome. I appreciate it very much. 5 years is a long time to take to write a song. Ranger Danger 99 in Los Angeles wants to know, what has L.A. done for your music? It's so crowded here with good bands. It must be more than just hauling your amps through a subway.
You're talking about the eternal hustle that bands of any style, genre, or age have to do to survive in this market. I mean, what did it do for my music? It made me cutthroat in a respectful way. It makes me inspired to go out to shows and see exactly what you're talking about. There's so much talent in LA. It's around every corner. And while pop, you know, might rule in the studios right now, there's so much good music, experimental rock, jazz that is, you know, in the underbelly of Los Angeles. You just have to walk around the corner in downtown LA and you'll find, you know, a million different groups to go to on any given night. So for me, it's definitely kept me humble, and it's also pushed me to say, no, we actually do have something to say. And I think that energy is necessary in any band sort of making it anywhere.
Right. Well, you know, I'm glad you're making it.
Thanks. It's a hard racket out there.
It's a very difficult racket. There's probably 10,000 bands in Los Angeles, and they're all playing on Friday and Saturday night.
Right.
Well, we've been having too much fun, which means that we're out of time. I had one more song of yours to play, Hallowed Halls, and I will play it as we go out. But really quick, I understand you're going to be in the studio for a month or so putting together an EP. Can we expect to see you live maybe in March or April?
You sure can. It'll probably be late March, worst case scenario, April. But as you know, sort of engineering seven different people in music, it takes a little bit of time. So that's exactly what we're doing over the next 3 months, is
okay,
really buckling
right
down and writing.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. And when you're ready with that new album, we'll have you back on the show. Zach Villa of the best band right now, I think the best emerging band in Los Angeles, Sylvia, thank you so much for being with us. And that was Zach Villa. That was our interview with Zach on January 9th of this year. And you can see Zach live, if you're in Southern California, you can see Zach live on stage at the DBA Club in Los Angeles. He's appearing in the Dear John Hughes Show. This is his acting chops, not his singing chops. So check out the website for dates and tickets, and don't forget the discount code for Music Friday Live listeners. That discount code, got your pen ready? DJ ZACH. That's DJ HZACH, which I guess is Dear John Hughes, Zach. We're going to post that to the Music Friday Live blog right after the show today, so you can, if you didn't write it down, you can look it up. We've got to take a break now, but when we return, Graham Lesh and Elliot Peck of Midnight North. Midnight North are playing tomorrow night in Northern California. They're going to be playing also in the High Sierra Music Festival a couple of weeks from now, so don't go away. You're not going to want to miss this. These are really great people. But right now, we've got to do a little business.
Our troops aren't the only ones fighting right now. Thousands of military families are in crisis. They're fighting financial battles, how to pay the bills, even how to keep their homes and feed their children. You can help by supporting Operation Homefront, a national nonprofit that provides emergency assistance for military families and for wounded warriors when they come home. To learn more about how you can help, go to OperationHomefront.net.
And we're back at Music Friday Live. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan, your host. And, of course, we would remind you that these interviews were recorded earlier. You can't call in, but if you have questions for our guest, you can send emails to musicfridaylive@gmail.com, and we will forward them on. Now, a word from our sponsor, Solar City. Now, you all know that solar power is a huge win-win for homeowners, but a lot of you are reluctant to take the plunge into solar because, you know, the upfront cost costs money. Well, with Solar City, you can go solar for zero upfront costs on approved credit. That's right, zero upfront costs. Solar City will come out and they'll install a solar system on your home for free, and you will only pay for the power you use, just like you do from the utility company. Except your bills are lower because the sun is making a lot of that power for you. As much as half of your electricity can be made by the sun in some cases. Solar City pays for the system. It insures the system. It maintains the system. All you have to do is just enjoy the savings. So if you've been ready for solar, but solar hasn't been ready for you, it is now at Solar City, America's number one clean energy provider. Now, how do you find out about this? Well, you've still got that pencil in your hand from writing down the promo code for Zach Villa's play. So take it out again and write down this phone number, 909-618-6937. That's 909-618-6937. And when you talk to somebody there, tell them I sent you and you'll get a discount. So that's 909-618-6937. Tell them Patrick sent you, and you will get a discount. Well, another band that's on the move is Midnight North, and they're opening tomorrow night in the storied Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley, California. That's just across the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco. If you are in Northern California, you should catch the show, especially if you're a Dead fan. And why? Well, listen to what Midnight North lead singer has to say, and their Elliot Peck and their founder, lead guitarist Graham Lesh. You might recognize that name, Lesh. Listen to this interview and see why, if you're a Dead fan, you really, really want to go to the show. Now, remember, this is a pre-recorded interview, so don't call in, but you can email your questions. And speaking of our guests, I'm sure he hates to hear this, but if you like the Grateful Dead, you will love Graham Lesh and his band Midnight North. It's not only because his father is the legendary bass player and founding member of the Dead, Phil Lesh, but because Graham has figured out how to keep the energy and joy of the Dead, but with a very modern rock feel. You might say Midnight North is Grateful Dead Reloaded or 2.0. I won't say that. I will just say that Graham Lesh and Midnight North are as much fun as you can have with five people and musical instruments, okay? No matter what you're smoking, actually. So here he is, and I think we have a special surprise. Elliot Peck is with him. Graham and Elliot, are you both there?
I'm here.
We are. Hi.
Okay. Hi. Graham, you recently released your debut album, The End of the Night, which we're going to play a bit of, but I have a question. Why did it take so long? You were practically born with a guitar in your mouth.
Well, this is only the debut album for this band, Midnight North. I've been playing music for ever, basically. taking piano lessons since I was in first grade. It was basically part of, you know, my regular education was to have a music education. This band just coalesced pretty much perfectly, and we had to record it and put it out as quickly as we can, and that's End of the Night.
Well, it certainly feels like you didn't record it quickly, but because it's very precisely done. It's beautiful. But we're going to play a little bit. This is the title track. Elliot, your singing on that is absolutely country, and the rhythm is country, but the feeling is blues and even a little pop. Was that hard to get just right, or did it come out just immediately just the way you wanted it?
Well, you know, country and blues are two of my main influences. You know, growing up in Chicago and being around the Chicago blues music all the time, you know, really influences the feel and kind of the chord progressions of a lot of my songs. But, you know, the country music, moving out to California and, you know, getting to be around all this new, exciting California country music, you know, really influences our current sound quite a bit. So, yeah, just all kind of came together with that tune and with Graham and, you know, our fabulous rhythm section, it turned out just perfectly.
how did the two of you get together from California to Chicago and decide that your blues background went well with his country rock background?
Well, we actually met kind of by happenstance inadvertently through Craigslist, if you can believe that. my husband,
an ad for a singer or an ad for a band,
in a roundabout way, our bass player, who happens to be my husband, was actually interviewing for a position in Graham's band, his former band. And then, you know, they got to know that I was a singer as well and had my own songs. And, yeah, we just started jamming together, and it all just seamlessly came together.
Well, Graham, that was a happy happenstance. But the rest of the band, it fits rather nicely. Did you have a picture in your head in mind of what kind of a band you wanted, or did things just sort of grow?
They really was just a natural growth. Our drummer Eric Starr and I have been performing together since college, years and years and years. And you know, when we started jamming with Connor and Elliot, it started with, you know, I had a bunch of songs, the five that I sing in on End of the Night that I'd written, and Elliot wrote. Had written five and brought those to the band, and we just started playing together, and it worked. Recently, we've added a new member, our fabulous guitar player and organ player, Alex Jordan, and it's even gotten better. But yeah, it really just is natural. I mean, we all kind of like the same music. We're influenced by a lot of the same things, similar bands, and it just sort of fit together nicely.
Well, this is an example of how nicely it fits together. I want to change the mood a bit and kind of sort of glide back to the sound of the Dead Reloaded. This is Miss M, and it's actually my favorite song on the album.
Country.
That is so much fun. And that song is not only fun, but it's addictive. It's the one I put on repeat. And Elliot makes such great use of your voice and the bass line. And now that I know the bass player is your husband, I can understand that. The bass line tracks your voice, kind of a scaffold that you sort of ride on. It's wonderful. Did you write that, or Graham, did you write that?
So that song's actually, we have a friend that we collaborate with a lot named Toby Oler. And, you know, Toby often will play me these acoustic songs he's got drumming up in his head. And sometimes, you know, I'll hear something and just be like, oh, that's it. I'm sticking with that. And I'll bring it to the band and we kind of, you know, put our own spin on it and run with it. And, you know, Miss M just really turned out well with the collaboration of the group. And you're right, the bass line in that is probably my favorite part of the song. I really enjoy, you know, the way he starts it off, and it's very much a melodic bass line, which is cool. So yeah, it's one of my favorites too.
Yeah, me too.
Graham, each one of the band members is a really strong talent. Now, do they all get involved in songwriting, even when you've got somebody like Tony working with you, and get involved in arranging, or do they defer to you and you kind of lead the show?
You know, it really depends on the song. Usually, me or Elliot, or now Alex, our newest member, who's been helping to write as well, will bring an outline. It's usually just acoustic guitar and vocals, and we'll build the song around that. It's once it gets to the band, everyone in the band is absolutely contributing to the groove, the feel, the arrangement, and you know, the vocal harmonies. Basically, we work on everything together until it's right, and luckily we get to play live enough that we can tweak and we can make sure it's perfect before, you know, we set it down on record. Yeah, it's a good process, but it's a movable process. We can tailor it to the song.
We've got some emails and for you all.
Oh, wow.
Emil in Seattle wants to know who influenced who the most, Elliot or Graham.
That's a good question.
I have smart listeners.
I'm absolutely influenced by Elliot. Just the singing and the melodies. I don't know. It's a hard question to answer.
Yeah, yeah.
In totality, but we definitely work off of each other as much as we can. I mean, the whole band, but especially me and Elliot, I think, for this record, you know, we almost, for End of the Night, mashed together two solo EPs almost. You know, it's five of my tunes and five of her tunes, and we really took the opportunity to mold each other's songs into something that sounded whole. And,
It works.
Yeah,
it works.
I'm glad you think so, yeah.
And I think, as you know, as we work together more, we've started doing a lot more collaborative songwriting. You know, Graham influences you know, me a lot with his very you know, strong melodic guitar playing and his incredible sense of harmony. He's really got an ear for that. So, you know, you'll sing him something and, like, right off the bat, he's got this beautiful harmony arrangement for it. So so that influences, you know, our songs quite a bit too.
Raku 40 in Philadelphia says, and you're going to blush when you hear this, but what he says is, wow, these people are awesome. Where can I see them live? And he's in Philadelphia.
Well, in Philadelphia, it might be a little bit until we get out there, but we're hoping to make a trip out this summer to the East Coast, the Northeast specifically. But for the near future, we are playing mostly in the Bay Area. That's where we're from and based. We have a weekly show at Terrapin Crossroads in San Rafael in Marin County. That's every Sunday night. And we stream those shows as often as we can. A live video stream on Ustream, our Midnight North channel. And our next show outside of Terrapin Crossroads is January 20th at Doc's Lab in San Francisco. We'll be playing with Fred Torfey and some other wonderful local Bay Area musicians.
Well, now that I hear you stream your music, how do our listeners across the country, including our friend Raku 40 in Philly, how do they watch those streams? Where do they go for that?
The URL is ustream.tv/channel/midnightnorth, but we post it on our Twitter at Midnight North and our Facebook, just our Midnight North page all the time. You can find it basically, wherever we are on the internet, we are linking to that stream. So you can absolutely find it there.
Wonderful idea. Well, we're getting a lot of email in asking about your heritage. So why don't I kind of sum them up and ask the question, does your heritage help or get in the way?
I think it absolutely helps. I'm a very lucky person in basically every way. My whole life, my dad and, my mom as well, who runs the show for him. They're wonderful people, wonderful parents, and obviously being who he is, that's a lot of opportunities for me and for the band. The biggest one right now is just that he owns Terrapin Crossroads, which is a wonderful music venue in San Rafael, and we get to play there every week. and so just having that regular gig with wonderful, I'm using that word a lot, but it really is true, wonderful fans, wonderful people around, and most importantly, just great, great musicians who are also really good people. It's just a great community full of friends and music and great opportunity for all of us. And so, in that way, my heritage absolutely is a help. I haven't really run into any time where it's not been a positive thing.
We have a lot of people who've emailed in. I'll just read one. This is from Selina in Boston, and Selina wants to know, why didn't you learn to play the bass? Or maybe you did learn to play the bass.
I never really have. I would love to.
Keep in mind, this is a pre-recorded interview, so don't call in. And if you do email in, we will forward your emails.
My wonderful fiance got me a beginner mandolin for Christmas. But no, I actually started taking piano lessons when I was 6 or 7. I took those for a very long time and then sort of picked up guitar on my own. And it was just, I really liked it. I don't remember my exact frame of mind when I first started picking around on it, but it was just fun. I didn't have to go to lessons. piano lessons were a little restricting for my personal young person taste, and so guitar was just fun. I could teach myself. I could learn whatever I wanted to, and it wasn't always Grateful Dead music, but
it is. Well, Selina, there's your answer, and since he's studying lots of different instruments, who knows? Maybe at some point he will have the bass.
Me and Connor have switched instruments once.
Oh, you have? Okay, all right.
Yeah,
well, there you are. All right. So let's hear some more of your great music. And Heritage You're Not, this song kind of flashes me back to the Fillmore West and the Avalon, but it's really got a nice little modern twist. This is the San Francisco thing.
'Cause I love it most when it's cold. The kind of chill that cuts me right to the bone. I'm the one in a t-shirt in the rain. Move fast, blood flows, and I'll be okay. So why the hell am I here today? Sweating like a waterfall in this subway.
more stops to where I step on stage. A rush that keeps me on this runaway train.
So, Graham, you're that crazy person I see out there in the rain with a T-shirt on, huh?
That is me. the joke I have with my fiance is that, well, and many people, it's just that I'm in San Francisco with all the crazy wind and fog and rain. I'm the one without a jacket, not caring how cold it is. I run very warm.
But you were actually in New York City when you wrote that, it sounds like. Is that right?
I had this image of, that song's just about wanting to be home. And San Francisco, or the Bay Area, is my home. And New York was kind of a stand-in for a wonderful place that I really like, but that I just wanted to be home back in San Francisco. So I wrote that, yeah.
Nothing like the city by the bay, I'll say that, particularly the part of it you live in, which is Redwoods. We've got, speaking of Redwoods, we have a couple of emails here. This is from Major Minor Key. That's kind of an interesting name. Major Minor Key in Austin. And Major Minor Key says, the picture on the show's website shows you in front of a redwood tree. Do you have a tie-dye following?
We do have something of a tie-dye following. What following we have is, I think, they tend to like their tie-dyes. The picture from the with the Redwoods was a wonderful show we played back in September. We opened for the Mother Hips, one of our favorite local groups. Or I guess they're probably much bigger than local, but the Mother Hips. And that was up north in the North Bay, in the middle of a redwood forest. And it was one of the coolest, absolutely one of the coolest shows we've done.
We've got a question here for you, Elliot, and this is from Raul in Lomita. And Raul wants to know, does Elliot ever sing the blues on her own?
I sing in the shower every day.
I don't think that Raul can see you do that.
I don't think that counts, right? yeah, I this is my main project right now, and so I focus, you know, my energy and attention on this and playing with Midnight North. You know, there's occasional times where I will sit in with other bands and, you know, get a chance to do some solo stuff. But for right now, this is what's working and what's my main project.
Okay. Now I know this question may be premature because you just released the album in June and I know it was a lot of work, but what do you see for your band in the coming year? You mentioned you're going to the East Coast. You're going to try to expand beyond your Northern California base?
We would love to, yes. We are going to hit some festivals, hopefully, this summer. We'll see which ones. I'm not sure we can say yet. But, yeah, our next up for us is finishing our next record, which is yet untitled, which should be out this spring. But before that, we're going to put out a EP of our new single, which is called Stayin' Single, Drinkin' Doubles, a very, very fun country song that Elliot sings. It'll have some other tracks from the album, too, and possibly some B-sides. And that should be out either in late January or early February. So keep an eye out for that.
All right.
In the spring, finishing the record.
Any plans to come down to L.A.?
We love coming to
LA.
All right. Well, we'll have to talk about that. We have time for just one more song, and this is a song that it's kind of an on the road song, and I'll bet a lot of listeners, particularly the musicians listening to the show, can really relate to. This is Long Road.
Dark as light, order another one more time. Remember the words that struck me,
And that was Midnight North. We the interview conducted in January, and since then, incidentally, Graham has let me know that they have booked dates in Southern California. They're going to be at the Mint. I believe that is August 9th at the Mint. And, of course, that's in central Los Angeles. No, August 8th, 10 p.m. at the Mint in central Los Angeles. Well, that was a pre-recorded interview. So, as I said, you can't call in, but we'll be very happy to pass on your emails. And, again, that was Graham Lesh and Elliot Peck of Midnight North. Now, if you're in Northern California, catch them tomorrow at the wonderful Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley, just over the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco. If you're going to the High Sierra Festival, they're going to be there. And like I said, they're going to be in Los Angeles in August at the Mint. So check out the Mint's website. That's August 8th. They're going to be on stage at 10 o'clock. Well, if you've been listening to Music Friday Live, you have been listening to Music Friday Live with Patrick O'Heffernan. I'm your host. And you've been listening on either the CyberStation USA network or the Blog Talk Radio network or one of our radio affiliates. If you like our Facebook page and you follow our Twitter feed, you'll get a real-time update on our guest. You can also go to our website and read my music reviews. That's Music Friday Live Nation Builder at music. I'm sorry, musicfriday.nationbuilder.com. And there's no www. It's just musicfriday.nationbuilder.com. And you can check out my blog there. You can get more information on our guests, and also you can read the reviews. So you know, I post reviews on six magazines around the country, and we also post them on our website. We've got a great blog up on the wonderful show that we were at two nights ago, Wednesday night at Los Globos, and we saw Grammy-winning show there put on by Gypset Productions and starring a whole raft of people. But David Garza was singing there, and Gabby Moreno, who, of course, is the a Grammy winner. So that was a great one. You can see the blog there, too. Our production manager is our producer, actually, is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. Our intern is Angeline Serrano. You can download this program and any other Music Friday program at cyberstationusa.com. Or if you want to do it right away, the best source actually is blogtalkradio.com/musicfriday. You can also subscribe to our RSS feed and find us on iTunes. Oh, we're everywhere, aren't we? Be here next Friday. We're going to be back with a full live lineup. Chris Riffle and Amy Loftus will be here. So, again, check our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we will update you on the guests. But the guest list for next Friday, it's live, and it's going to be Amy Loftus and Chris Riffle. Okay, good night, everyone. Have a great musical weekend. Goodbye.
Catch 'em in this linen net, keep 'em so I don't forget.
And for everybody that has emailed in, the theme song is Big Bed by Blame Sally.
So, and there's a room to lie, but none is fair. So Auntie drew herself to the floor and got lost in the night. I don't believe her when she says she don't mind. Oh no. Oh no. Keep the windows open deep into the night, because I'm